Hello, lovely hogs. Andrew here, and we are so excited to bring Trusty Hogs Live all over the world. Yes, as you listen to this, we have one date left in Australia at the Sydney Factory Theatre. That is on the 27th of April. And then we are back in the Northern Hemisphere with Dublin. Yes, we are so excited to come to Ireland for the first time. We're bringing Trusty Hogs Live to the Laughter Lounge on the 4th of June. Tuesday the 4th of June in Dublin, there's going to be an Irish history lecture from Heather. There's going to be drunken karaoke. There's going to be problem solving. All sorts of chaos. All the usual. It is not to be missed. Make sure you get your tickets early because we are expecting to sell out. TrustyHogs.com/tour for all the tickets and info. That's Dublin on the 4th of June. Then we are into July with Bristol, Brighton, Edinburgh in August, London at the Clapham Grand on the 16th of October, and then we close out our tour in Manchester on the 6th of November. So make sure you go to TrustyHogs.com/tour. Get your tickets quick because some of these are already sold out. Some of them are very nearly there, and we cannot wait to see you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to episode 72 of Trusty Hogs.
Welcome to the chaos. That wasn't very good.
It felt like you hadn't thought it through.
No,
to the end
well,
of the
we just had
started.
Hugh Goldsmith in here. We did him.
Goldsmith? No, don't read the magic.
Oh, right. We haven't had him in first. Welcome to episode 72. God knows what's going to happen and who's going to come on. It's Trusty Hogs.
Woohoo! Through the fog, step forth the Trusty Hogs. Yeah, you're going to give them your problems and they will solve them. Or maybe they won't, and that's your problem. They'll have guests and Andrew White on the tech. Oh, it's Helen and Catherine as the Trusty Hogs. Trust the Trusty Hogs, or maybe not.
We should say what it is, just in case there's a new listener.
No, we should. I was going to.
My name's Helen Bauer.
And I'm Catherine Bauhart.
I am a stand-up comedian.
As am I.
And an all-round just like good gal. Just
okay.
Compassionate, well, patient and loving.
Into the lying section, all right.
Guests love a giggle. And Catherine.
And I'm stuck with you. And listen, we talk about our lives and then we try to help you with the problems from yours. Ooh, hard to speak today, isn't it?
Yeah.
And listen, I've had a busy weekend.
You've had a lot. Do you want to talk about it?
I do. I took my girlfriend of 6 months home to meet my family.
I love how reasonably you're moving on this timeline.
Can you believe?
I can. You actually have changed.
I'm growing. Mm-hmm. I'm growing.
I know.
She even tried to introduce me to her family about 3 or 4 weeks and in,
and
I said no.
No, I'm good.
And then she introduced me 3 months in. And I was like, I'm away. But that's partly because my mother gets so attached, right? She gets so attached to these lesbians. I didn't want to break her heart. I wanted to make sure everything was good. Mm. And listen, it was hilarious from the outset because the first thing to say is my girlfriend's 5'7".
Yes.
My parents, my dad and mom are 5'1 and 5'2 respectively. Mm-hmm. So she did tower.
You're a smaller people.
We're a smaller people. They think I'm towering at my 5'5". She really was like...
Absolutely ridiculous.
My dad was looking up at her like, oh my God. Like, and predictably, she and my mother had a great
fell
time
in
together.
Love.
Fell in love. I went...
Yes.
I came down to them giggling, playing cards together. I was like, can I play? It's like only a game for two. I was like, fair enough. They were adorable.
Does it ever hurt your soul when you see your mum with like a partner and you're like, oh, I wish we could play cards and not be passive with each other?
No, because I don't want to really play cards.
Okay.
It's like, on the one hand, my girlfriend does the job of like daughtering for me. And on the other, my mom's so happy. You know what I mean? So it's so lovely. And I don't have to do any of it. So that's great. And sure, my mom flirts with them. So I don't have to. I can just take
a break.
I can answer my emails.
Yeah.
It's lovely. It's really very nice, actually. And she did so well. She could understand most of what my dad said. We went on
What
long
do you mean?
Walks. Well, he has a heavy accent.
Yeah.
So it's for an English person, not for an Irish person.
Oh, was she like struggling a bit?
No, but people have struggled in the past.
Oh, I would.
He's also often eating while he's speaking because he only comes home to eat because he's such a busy man. We are cut from the same cloth. He's like, gotta do something. She laughed a lot when he said what she calls my catchphrase, which is apparently, come on,
Oh my God, I did not know you had a catchphrase until now.
Yeah, come on.
Constantly.
She's like, I'm coming on. I'm right beside you. I'm standing beside, I'm walking beside you.
Come on.
It's just an Irish way of being like, come on, like off we go. It's like, sure, we'll.
No, it feels like a teacher being like, right, paints away. It's intense. Come, what a fun catchphrase.
Yeah, so he's
mine
like,
is my vagina's itching. Oh no, it's not. Why would I say that?
Why?
I don't know what's wrong with
what
me.
What is wrong with you?
No, I love being single around February and hearing about people's
partners. So on
partners
this note, have you
meeting.
Gone on your date?
No.
What the fuck, Helen? You were supposed to go on
no.
three.
I know, but...
have you even gone on one?
No, but
have
I am.
Have you even tried to set one up?
I'm dating myself.
No, you're not. Get to fuck.
I'm dating myself.
Where have you taken yourself?
To
exactly get to fuck are you dating yourself? You're not dating yourself.
I'm not. No
I
don't know what's happening. I just don't want to do it.
Okay, fine. I
it's bad
you.
Isn't it though, because I made
you.
A promise that I would date.
It doesn't have to be now. It's early in the year. I just was checking in.
I know, but I'm just not doing it.
But I'm telling you, I think come March, people be like, spring will have sprung. People will be ready to go out again. And you might feel
but
like
I don't
it.
Think I should be putting myself out there at the moment, because Lou Sanders said that she's really sure I'm going to meet someone at a gig.
Did she look at her crystals while she said that?
No, but she had been with them earlier.
Huh?
She'd been around her crystals earlier, and then she had the epiphany that she thinks I'm going to meet someone at a gig. And I believe her. I believe her.
Mm.
I do. I think it's just going to happen. And by that time, I will have spent enough time learning to love myself that I will be able to accept it from the kind stranger who will be, I don't know, like in a 1/2 mile radius from me. Very tall, very beautiful, bit of fun, makes all my friends laugh. Yeah.
Such a low bar. Okay, well, listen.
I know it is, isn't it? That's the thing. How can I not find someone, given the fact my bar is so incredibly
just tall
low?
And a little bit funny sometimes.
Just someone who can hold a conversation. But also don't, in love with me, but not too in love with me. Like me, but not always. Like, don't like everything. Someone's partner's just an absolute dick and they're like, they just light up a room.
I would love
it. Like, the one pissing in the corner.
I'd love if my girlfriend liked everything I do, but she doesn't.
You do light up a room.
That's kind.
But no one can like everything someone else does. You can't. You mustn't.
Okay, fine. Oh,
the one thing. What do I not like about you?
Wait, Helen.
This is always a fun friendship moment.
Can I tell you something else that happened before we went to my parents and before you insult me? So the day before, we went to Body Movements, as did every other homosexual in London. Now,
Printworks.
Can I explain?
Yeah.
Yeah, you already know what that means. I did not know what that meant. Ellen's like, shall we go to Printworks? I was like, what's that? She's like, it's an all day like queer dance party. I was like, sounds awful. And she's like, please come. And I was like, fine. But in my head, it was like, there's a cute little queer, like there's like little rooms. They've got like a queer night in one, a queer night in another, like, you know, like Aphrodite in one or like Butch Please in the other.
Yeah.
No. It's two giant warehouse spaces.
Yeah, both one upstairs and then one in the big down. Yeah.
Both of which are filthy and both of which are playing music that you have to be on pills to enjoy.
Yes. Techno, yes.
Okay. Secondly, the bathrooms are port-a-loos.
Okay.
You have to queue for everything.
Why are you being surprised by
it's this? Awful. I had a terrible time.
But you should know it's a warehouse. Of course it's port-a-loos.
I was having a terrible time. These two girls come over, the loveliest girls, and are like, hey, we kind of can't believe you're here. We didn't know if we should come over. We listened to Trusty Oaks. And I was like,
I'm just so shocked at the sight of you.
I was like, I also cannot believe that I'm here. I was talking so fast to them. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I had just drank, and because I just ordered 3 Proseccos and poured them into a pint glass, I just drank a pint of Prosecco because I was like, I can't cope with this. I hate
that. Is the least Printworks thing of all time. It 3 Proseccos. Yeah.
Ellen kept saying I was the only person there with a blow dry. I was like, well, I didn't
you
know.
You had a blow dry before you went? You fucking. Idiot, sweaty in there, it's humid. It's a different sort of like atmosphere.
It was horrible.
Did you go to the smoking area courtyard for a break?
Yeah, where the food was.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's great.
Anyway, I got hammered because I was like, I can't deal with
this. Good for you.
And so these girls come over and they're like, we're gonna bother you, but then we saw your girlfriend's getting loads of attention, so I thought she was getting fandom, so we should like come over to you. And I was like, these aren't her fans. every lesbian she's ever slept with is at this event. That's what's happening here now.
Including you.
Including me. And I'm just in the queue to say hello. And they were like, oh, okay. They were so nice. Shout out to the Printwork girls. I hate it there.
Hi, Printwork girls.
I hated it there.
Did you not enjoy being like the one girl with the blow dry though? Like, surely that fits into your world.
I mean, I guess, but I still would have rather do that somewhere like I could sit down with like Edaloo that was sticky, you know.
I don't know if I should say something, Andrew.
I think honesty is the best policy.
We're concerned about you.
What? Because I'm trying to be young.
No, just like, who are you now?
I know. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm a person who occasionally
you randomly
does things.
Brought up football earlier, like before the podcast, just in conversation. You've been to a football match and said it was good. You're going to daytime raves. You're introducing your girlfriend like 6 months into a relationship. Like, it's genuinely a bit like, is Catherine evolving to become her true self, or is she just...
Am I changing too much too fast? Here's what I'll say is...
I want to love you either way, and I do. I just want to make sure that you're taking stock and still having time to do your flower arranging in your different vases.
Of course I do.
Okay, I know. But like, I'm just like...
I'm not giving up the basics.
Okay,
Colin.
You're panicking. I can hear your breathing's gone shallow.
Okay.
See, is she laughing because she's having a nice time, or is she panicking?
Look at me. I want to reassure you. I have daffs and tulips in my flat as we speak.
Good.
I did an hour of Adrian this morning. Mm. Now, what I have managed to change and I'm really happy about is I haven't moved in with my girlfriend. I have been taking things at a normal pace. I'm really proud of that. I hated the daytime rave and was only there to make her happy.
Okay.
I won't be doing that again.
Understood.
That was made very clear.
Okay.
Two, what I said about football was we saw Annie McGrath,
yeah,
the comedian, coming out of this room.
Yes.
And I said, don't hurt anyone at football. I wasn't like, did you see the football?
You still said football. You have never said football for a year. And then it just came out a lot recently. Andrew's worried. I'm worried. We're all a bit concerned.
Because she left Ellen with a football injury last week. And then Annie said the most darkly scary thing. She just looked at me dead in the eye and went, she was able to play the following week. It wasn't that bad. I was like, whoa! Whose leg have you broken? Terrifying.
Let's just go through a couple of things that I'm nervous about.
Sure.
Okay. Will your hair change colour ever?
Of course. What do you mean?
Like, when you're not going to dye it like East London, like blonde with dark roots or anything?
No, I dyed it 3 weeks ago and I just made it a darker red.
Okay, but we're staying within the red.
I'm not having a Lindsay Lohan breakdown.
It's worth checking.
This isn't my Samantha Ronson moment. No, I will not be dyeing blonde.
I really hope our listeners are too young to understand that reference.
Fuck off!
Like, everyone being like, "Who's Samantha Ronson?" I don't know either because I'm only four. Are you still like wearing like matching lingerie and not just shoving on boxers and wandering around?
Boxers? You think I own boxers?
You say football now.
You think I own boxers?
Yeah, I do actually. I don't know who you are anymore.
I don't own boxers. I would never. And yes, my underwear still.
One day I'm going to go around yours and there's going to be a skiddy in the toilet and I'm going to be like, I've lost her. I've lost her.
No, Catherine would never.
Who do you think I'm... What do you think I'm... What do you think I'm turning into in this scenario?
I don't know. Just not who I knew.
Okay. I'm making some more sensible choices.
Okay.
I occasionally have to do things of a Sunday to make my girlfriend happy.
Yeah.
I remain myself.
You're still having a bath every morning, putting bath salts in it and lighting a candle.
Babe, this morning I did an hour of Adrian and had a bath.
Oh, see, I also hate that. Oh, you know what? Actually, maybe I'm just a bit depressed.
Are you okay?
I cried for about 2 hours this morning. Maybe that's what it is.
You should take that vitamin spray that you gave me.
I did.
It really helped me.
No, it was like, it was a cry I put upon myself.
Why? What happened?
Oh, this is like, album came up recommended. You know when an album's like recommended on Spotify? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, they understand me. It's called Disney Goes Classical, performed by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
Right, yeah.
And...
Stop it. What is wrong with you? Behave yourself. Put your phone down.
There's
Don't
a cover
cry.
Of When She Loved Me from Toy Story 2.
Right.
By the Opera Men.
I don't know what that means.
Okay. It's just, you know, When She Loved Me, the Sarah McLachlan song with Jesse and it's like the little cowboy.
No.
You know what? Let's have our guest.
Okay.
Let's have our guest. It's not happening. Let's talk
Maybe
about this
we
in
never
the extras.
Bonded.
We'll
Maybe
talk
we
about
never
this
connected.
In the extras.
You know what I mean? Maybe it doesn't matter if I change. Can you get it together?
It's We're a bringing very in emotional Stu Goldsmith. Time of year.
And you have to get it together.
Yes, ma'am.
Please welcome to Trusty Hogs.
It's Stu Goldsmith.
God, what the hell was that?
I don't know. Sadness.
Hello, thank you so much for listening to Trusty Heart.
Thank you so much. We just wanted to jump in really quickly and give our patron a little plug because it is thriving over there.
Yeah, thanks so much to everyone who's joined. And if you want to join us, there's no pressure. Please enjoy the podcast otherwise. But if you do want to join us, there's so many benefits. You get an early access to the episode. Mm-hmm. You get an extra episode a week. And you also get early access to our live shows. Now, the last one sold out in under 24 hours. So you'll want to be a patron if you want to come to the one on June 4th, mm-hmm. Which will be on sale very soon. Please join. Please sign up. Please get a ticket. And hey, thanks to everyone who has already.
And just a reminder, if you sign up now, there are over 70 extra episodes that you can access immediately.
How many?
Over 70,
oh
Catherine!
My God.
It's unbelievable. But for now, please continue enjoying Trusty Heart!
Bye! It's Stuart Goldman, everybody!
It's Stuart Goldman!
I've just had to break up a fight before we got on air.
What
because
fight?
I was like, the two of you, because I was, Helen has just insulted Stu Goldsmith by saying that she did his wonderful podcast, ComCom Pod,
yes.
And you said it was the worst time of your life.
One of the worst days of my life, yeah.
What? That's so unfair.
It was unfair.
You've got quite a bad life, surely.
I'm actually thriving 24/7, so I don't know where that came from. It's because, no, because, right, I can hear, I didn't hear how it sounded
That's
until
amazing.
Catherine said it, and maybe I was a bit cutting, and for that, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But the day I did it, I was so excited, because number one, it's like a thing, mm-hmm. right? Doing, you're aware of
doing
this. It's like doing ComCom Pod is like a tick on your career.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, and I don't really know how I write, and I was like, this will be so useful, because I'll be talking about what I do and then you'll tell me how I write to make it succinct for the listener.
Great attitude.
And then I'll learn. So I came to it with my notepads and my pen all ready to take down notes. I got one nugget, just one. It was an absolute waste of my time.
I learned that I'm incredibly cringe. So we both suffered.
Is that what you said to Stu?
He kept on being like, oh, like your brand is like basic and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, yeah, well, yours is cringe. And then...
And to be fair, you've done a lot of material about being basic.
Yeah.
Whereas didn't know I was cringe.
Oh, no!
And you... Oh, what? Oh, so it's that obvious that I am that you're like, God, how
no,
could you not know?
Stuart, this morning I went on my Instagram... popped up a clip from your amazing special.
Yeah.
I'm 41, of course I am. Look at my trainers. Like, come on!
Yeah,
it's funny cringe!
I don't know what you mean.
What she means is you're a dad and you're older than her.
Well, that's I think
but you've been
means.
A dad since I met you. Like, since when I was 18 and I met you.
I
yeah.
was a dad then. I was a dad with no
kids. Oh, you mean dad yeah. energy. Oh, I'm yeah. a mom with no kids.
Yeah, lovely.
I have
yes.
a similar cringe energy.
You
that's
have
helpful.
Me.
Okay, so what? Can we please break it down? Because I want to know what it is. I don't resist it. I agree with you. But I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I
and
think...
It's like earnest.
It's a Phil Dunphy earnestness.
Is it?
It's
earnest? Like. Is it that I try to solve problems rather?
It's Phil
than
Dunphy.
Phil Dunphy is.
Have you watched the Modern Family. Modern Family series?
I know what it is. Oh, is he the dad?
He's the dad who loves magic. Yeah. He's like loves okay. everyone. He just wants his kids to be so happy all the time. He likes his wife.
Yes,
he's a wife guy. You know.
One of his first lines in the series is like, "I'm a cool dad. I'm hip. I'm down with it. I use all the slang. Like, LOL. Lots of love. WTF? Why the face just really cute
it's a sweetness
that's nice to know I guess I don't think that I'm like I would never go like I know all this like you know I don't think I'm like that
you know what I'm having a problem with calling people things that they don't see in themselves recently. I had a fight last night because I've grouped the entire comedy industry into groups like and you either fit into like one group so like it was basically because my friends had just gone to see Pianovelli's show and I was like oh Pianovelli oh he's such a classic war boy and the war boys are people whose audiences all have a copy of a biography of Hitler at home.
War boy as in Mad Max, are they called war boys?
No, just war boy is the vibe. So war boys are like, they're not history students, they're men who have like biographies on battles and wars and Hitler.
Yes, yeah,
in the audience.
Yes,
so my
yes.
audience, I'm a big thicko, so my crowd are the people who would like, they'll buy a DVD in 2050. Do you know what I mean? Like I'll be making money, like absolutely no stress. And then you've got chaos sluts, edgelords.
Who came up with the
chaos
sluts? Yours invention.
Am I a chaos slut?
No, but you want to be, and that's the worst.
Oh, no.
Who is it? Who do we know that's a chaos slut?
Chaos.
I don't
Lou Sanders.
So
all the cons.
Yeah. So
they're amazing. Chaos Flux is the best group to be in.
What am I?
What do you want to be?
No, I just told you what I want to be and you mocked me for it. What am I?
You're edging towards Chaos Slut, but you can't because you're always in like a relationship.
No, I'm
and then
stable
all
chaos
of your shows slut. End
a
with like
slut.
I guess I was heartbroken, but now I'm happy.
Hang on, there's got to be another. I do love
happiness
to define a thing. Yeah. I realised recently my wife's favourite type of movie is a genre which I have named ambient grief. And I'm really pleased that I've got that because I'm like, you know what that is?
Yes.
She likes
so we're talking After Sun. We're talking,
yes,
we're talking.
Like the kid with a bike, a child getting kicked down some stairs. You know, that kind of like awful, like nil by mouth.
Yes.
Like, but less plot and more kind of sobbing and, you know, just looking at the window.
I think I like that.
She'd love
ambient grief.
Has she seen The Silent Girl on Colleen Kuhn?
I don't know.
Oh, that's very like lots of heady music, lots of landscape, lots of tragedy happening to children.
Sure.
That kind of like,
yes.
But no resolution. Everything's left like melancholic.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Twas ever thus and forevermore shall be.
Oh my God.
They say with their eyes.
Have her text me. I have so many movies.
So I'd say you're an aggressive babe if you want to do it. So like it would start with Joan Rivers, obviously, and then it filters down.
I'll take a diluted Joan Rivers.
I don't know that you're an aggressive. I get chaos slut Lou Sanders. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen me speak to an audience member?
Yeah.
She's not kind.
I'm quite mean.
Quite.
All right. Andrew just did a loud which is the gayest interaction.
Andrew, by the way, you're also a big thicko with me.
A
you're
big
welcome.
Thicko. Is that one of them? Is that Chaos Slut, Aggressive Babe, or Big Thicko?
Yeah, so Big Thicko are people that go on stage and we're like, ooh, and the audience like, oh, guys.
And so what, where do I feature in this?
Where's
if
doing
I want
this?
To be a Chaos
Do you want to know?
Is that more so than I'm a cringe
so
down? That's more
no,
proof.
That's so sweet.
But now
that's the sweetest thing you've ever said.
I'm nervous to say what you are, because I said this to my friend last night that he was one of these.
Okay.
And
who did you say
sure.
it to? Am I helping
Neil O'Rourke.
Okay, and who else would
no be? Little Prince?
Little Prince.
Yeah, I like
so
it.
So Little Princes.
My ears have gone up.
Little Princes are the ones that go on stage. DOD's actually a little prince.
A lot of people
think he's old, but he's actually a little prince.
Yeah.
So they're doing like, it's a lot of silly, like fun. They sort of talk about themselves and all the audience are going like, oh, what are they like?
Yeah, a lot of that.
And it's like a whole Little Prince vibe.
That's nice. I don't mind that.
Yeah, like, Little Princes are a big group. It's a good group to
little
be
Little Princes are also like the kid who mess up the nativity, but with a cute ad lib.
Yeah. John Mulaney is a little
mums.
Prince.
Yeah, I'm super good with mums.
Who'd you say?
John Mulaney, he's a classic
Little
Prince.
Joe Lycett,
Little Prince.
Yeah,
correct.
I'd meet your mum and I'd call her Mrs. Catherine.
Oh,
like
my God.
As a kind of like a thing. Yeah.
The ultimate Little Prince behaviour.
She'd love it. Yeah, because it works when you're 2 and it works when you're 42. It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Nice. Okay. That's nice. Little Prince is good.
So you accept it?
I do accept that. Okay. Specifically the cringe thing because I understand. It's like I've got this tantalizing, like, I kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of get it, mm-hmm. but I want to really get it. And I know that I'm earnest. Like, I'm writing a show for Edinburgh at the moment. And it's about climate change. Right?
Awesome.
But it's not cleverly, it's not something else that turns out to be climate change. I think it's going to be really earnest on the chin.
About climate change.
Like I'm doing
good.
Research for
tell
it.
You what earnest climate change chat is.
Is that a little...
Really cringe.
I think it will be. So I need to lean into it. This is why I need to do the research.
You've got
to
be a little prince.
No, I don't. You just have it.
Okay.
Like, don't. I honestly think
so
sometimes.
Take any action.
People overanalyze stuff sometimes.
Oh, that's me to a T, right.
So, but just like, let it go. Like,
okay.
There's a fun in the cringe. Like, you are more than happy to do a joke, even if the audience will go like, oh, like at the end of it, but you'll still enjoy doing it.
And they'll fall in love with your enjoyment of it.
Yes.
I think that's the other thing as well.
Yes,
I've got a really cheesy pun. And I used to really enjoy doing it and then saying, I run in the end of the line and go, and I don't respect you at all. Do you know what I mean? Like that sort of thing. I really enjoy that. Okay.
But I think Helen is the same. Like, ultimately, Helen will often be right about historical fact on this podcast. She'll often be right about news on this
1914
podcast.
1914 to 1918.
I'll often misremember things that she remembers. And yet, no matter how many times that happens, she's the dumb bitch.
Yes.
Despite the fact I'm actually a genius.
Because she just comes across as...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why challenge
just gave
a big
me the
thicko.
Most super
big
villain
thicko.
Eye contact. You just gave... That was like Kaiser Soze, like a glimmer. A tiny little glimmer of... and that's why I'll get away with it.
And that's how I'll kill.
And I've killed your family. They're in this box.
This is part of the reason I'm allowed to say some... more horrific things on stage than other people.
Oh,
but there's no point thinking about it. People are like, she doesn't mean it. She doesn't understand what she's saying.
Sure.
But she doesn't understand what she's saying.
But that's why I'm allowed to be aggressive, is because they're like, but surely with her accent, she's a babe.
And the fact you're wearing this hair, which is, I don't even...
I look like a doll.
What's the hairstyle called that's
like
there?
When it's like clipped back? I don't know, but it's like...
Porcelain doll.
What's the movie, the
Frank, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Yeah. What's that movie called?
What is it?
Gone with the Wind.
I'll take
it. So it's like that era of like, and you wear dresses like that. Yeah. You gig in a
I look like a cartoon and I sound like a cartoon or like a sort of little old lady. So then when I'm like, are you too fucking? Everyone's like, I guess that's a normal question that you didn't mean.
I had such a lovely glimmer of that. And I sort of respect and fear the propensity for that to come out of me. I did it like, as I know that I look and sound like a nice person. And
Despite the fact you'll call a show prick, they'll still be like, oh, look at this. Bless him.
Do you know what? No, I can't tell
you. Go on.
No, you can.
Go on. We'll respect you more if you do. If you're ever going to do it here.
Do I have right of edit?
Of course. You have that over everything.
Okay, thank you. So, the original ending of Prick
is
that I would get a woman out of the audience and she would give me a dead arm and then I would give her a dead arm. but for real. Like, I'd really go for it. And I would say, I'm going to really go for it, so you have to really go for it.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
The premise was, is it that people just like me and trust me so much that I can physically touch
them? They'll let you do that.
I had no idea. I should say, this is why I'm eggy about talking about it.
Yeah.
No idea of the. I mean, it was just pre the cultural conversation. I had no. I mean, obviously, that's fucking awful. You can't be hitting women on stage and making a joke out of it.
Is it consensual?
You can, and it was consensual. But I am also. It would have. I was really. And it didn't make it to the Edinburgh show. It was like. Sometimes it was eggy and weird, and sometimes it was the funniest thing anyone seen. And one time at a ski festival, I did it, and there was a woman who was like a professional kickboxer. She
Phenomenal.
And so I'm recovering. She'd done my left arm, so my right arm was okay. So I went to town as well. And then she sort of followed me around for the rest of the night and was kind of flirting with me. And I went, this doesn't feel good.
Feels so natural.
Going on. And I was like, no.
That's interesting.
But that was the original ending of that show was, will they forgive me punching a woman on stage?
When it didn't work, did you worry that it was because they just didn't want to see their little prince being violent?
No, the reason it most often wouldn't work is when the lady in question didn't go super hard.
Oh yeah.
Because if she only slightly hits me, then I can't belt her back. It's not allowed.
Do you wanna do it now?
I mean,
looking at both, which one of us do you reckon you'd rather take a punch from?
I'm a lot older and quite brittle, and I wouldn't like to take a punch from either of you because
I lift weights. Surprise!
It's more technique. I feel like you've got crazy bitch energy.
Whereas
you probably, you probably get up and practice.
I did martial arts.
Catherine would get it direct, but I would have no morals behind her.
It's not a haymaker. It's a dead arm. It's a dead arm.
Well, I don't know. I don't know which
is
which.
So it's like the idea. Whoa! It's a real shame there isn't a camera mounted there, like an over
there
my head.
There used to be. We got rid of it.
If you're listening, what Helen had done was raised her fists already for the hitting.
It was like blinking.
I'm fine with it, but the girls have got a terrible temper and they've been drinking all day.
Let's clarify. Helen Bauer, do you consent to this?
Yes, 100%.
I'm not
Goldsmith,
sure that I do. You're a bit too up for it.
Stu Goldsmith, do you consent to this crazy bitch energy coming for you?
Can I suggest a dead leg?
You may.
You
can suggest.
No, he wants it. No, the man just wants it to casually be closer to his dick.
I'm a bit older than I was, and I've got responsibilities, and I keep getting small bone breaks, and it would be a terrible shame.
What?
Even better, the Jeopardy just got higher.
The higher the Jeopardy, the better the show.
That is so Bauer. Pure Bauer.
That really scares me. Okay, right. So who wants to go first?
Oh, you have to go first.
I do the first hit.
I think so.
Sick.
Okay. Helen, look at me.
Yeah, I know.
Do not go near his dick.
Yeah.
Look at me. Not go near his dick. Say it back.
I won't go near his dick.
Say it back to me again.
I won't go near his dick.
Great.
Are you going to
cover your penis?
So you're going.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right. Okay,
I feel like it'd be.
We're kind of there.
Okay, he's marked a spot. It's a three. It's a two.
Oh, I missed.
Well, technically, contact was made. So
No, that doesn't count. I have to get another shot.
Do you consent or a follow-up shot?
Go for it. But really, go for it.
Oh, she missed again. That's it. You're done.
Come on.
What?
Go for it.
She missed twice.
She missed twice. Okay. Wait, no, I'm going to go down like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I would go down. Yeah. Okay.
She missed twice. Here she goes.
Prepare for the Thunderdome!
Okay, that was cute.
Okay.
I've been punched by a lot of women in the...
Do you not get a shot back?
Specifically. Yes, I do, but that was so gentle, I wouldn't... I'll give you a little one.
No, I want a proper one.
Do you want a proper one?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh, she's asked for it.
Don't break it.
That looked so sore. That looked... She's crying. The bitch is crying.
Why would you do that? That
she's fucked milking
up.
This to hurt me emotionally.
Oh my god, I'm only little. Ow!
You can have another go.
I don't want to play with him anymore.
She has to get another go. She has to understand that the world is not always a fair place.
You are fucked up. That was fucked up. I thought we were doing it for fun. I
Helen,
for real.
Do not mind. You mustn't get. This is why you're earnest. Look at me. Look at me. No. This used to break me too. She's fine.
It really sounds like you're genuinely crying. If I was listening to this and couldn't see your face.
Yeah, she's
good. That is such a realistic cry.
But she's not. There's not a single tear. She's fine.
I'm sorry that you felt the need to get so violent with such
Helen.
A young woman.
Oh, God.
Do you
know? Jimmy Fallon, where he's
a
RuPaul, and he goes, "Oh, a drag queen," and his face is like, "Oh God, I'm cancelled."
No.
Spirit, look at me. She consented. She hit you first. She hit you twice. She begged for a real one. She asked for it. No, I heard it.
Okay.
She did agree to it, and then she used that as a piece of theatre, and you mustn't buy into it.
Well, I still feel terrible.
That's what she wants.
And I think that feeling will last a lot longer than the bruise.
I really hope it bruises. I love
She'd
a bruise
love a
for
bruise.
The attention.
She love know? A bruise. Honestly,
I think it's the where it originated from. The idea is that I genuinely think it's quite funny to get a deadline. I don't mind if you give me a proper one because that moment of it's not. You're not going
to. No, I was trying to really physically maim you. I genuinely was.
Okay.
I don't think
Do you want to take a shot on her behalf.
No, I don't.
I'd love to
no,
see
I
it.
No, I don't. No, I... Sorry, to be clear, this is mental.
Yeah. I'll say
you
this.
You have been the biggest instigator of all of them.
I will say this. I think
this is why my
this
siblings
is not
getting...
my world of fighting. Like, I'm not saying I'm not a fighter.
No.
I think I'm definitely, like, if I was to fight, I think it'd be dirty.
You're a hair puller and coming around it.
Really, like, vicious. I'd
go
for the eyes.
No qualms,
no problems. I would definitely fight, like, proper street dirty.
She's not going to start a fight. She's absolutely right. Yeah.
Can you tell that I would start a fight? Can you tell that I was the third and three siblings? I was, like, the eldest.
Start a fight and then run away.
I go, Mom!
Yeah.
I did that. Like, look how I organized.
Oh my god, you fucked us.
Yeah, but I had a great time. I can't believe you missed twice. That was wild.
This has been a lot for me.
Oh god.
And I just
so how sorry. Are you a dad? The guilt complex you have. Are you like this? Do your kids get you around the little finger this easy?
Oh yeah, oh, when my. You dead leg your kid.
They beat the shit out of me. they love absolutely go for it.
Do they manipulate you emotionally as successfully as Helen?
Yes. Well, so they are in two different ways. My son is very he's very kind of eloquent. And he's seven. He's a big reader and a writer.
Yeah.
And all through the pandemic, he would be writing me notes. If he was angry, he would write me an angry note. now he said, he literally says things to me like, "You'll pay for this," and I go, "What?" And he says, "I vow it."
Oh my god!
And you've met him, right?
Like, he's really cute. He's adorable.
Very cute little kid, dresses like an absolute pimp. He's like sort of
amazing
fur coat and sparkly leggings and stuff.
Yes.
And vow. And then he will. And then
he's aggressive on stage too.
That's an aggressive babe.
Whereas my daughter will. She's very kind of resilient and calm and centered, a lot more like her mum. But she, like, he's very like me, emotions on his sleeve, sort of thing, very close to the surface. He's very up and down. Whereas she's very kind of consistent, but she really treats me with sort of disdain. She's just in the last, she's four, and only really in the last 6 months, she's started doing very overt, "Daddy," and giving me a cuddle. But I just, it's not that it's put on. I know she loves me, but it's absolutely a decision she's making. She's like, "I want a thing."
He needs this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
And just know people will tell you that's a phase and it's not, because I'm 31 and I'm still doing it to my dad.
Totally. But
you're right, Michael. It'll work out.
So my wife pointed out that...
That's so funny.
When he was getting really, like, he's gone through phases of really mad, vicious, angry temper. Yeah. Not vicious, not physical.
Yeah.
Like, bless him, he's tried to hit me, but can't because he's a good kid. And he just ends up going, like that.
Oh,
so he wounds with his words. But when he was in one of his phases, he would say, like, I'd say to him, "Listen, mate, I know you're upset. Just, I love you. It's going to be okay. I love you." And he would go, "I don't want anyone to love me." And I would be like, "Oh God, I've sort of irreparably emotionally ruined him." But my wife pointed out
after
a breath, she said, "Look, he's pushing your buttons because you always tell him how much you love him. So he knows that is important to you. So he is cutting off your ability to do that."
Oh,
however,
God.
Consciously or unconsciously, kids are like little scientists. They just do this.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So he's like, "I don't want anyone to love me." And I'm like,
"But that's Papa's job."
Yeah, exactly.
Don't take away my favorite thing.
Totally. So there is a psychological war within that part of parenthood.
How do you not either? My issue in those contexts, one of two things would happen. If he's like, "I vow it," I would be crying laughing. Like, it's how do you keep a straight face?
It's so hard to do because obviously, of course,
you've upset him.
And of course, the language which I use with them day to day is like, I've really just learned very recently that when he's mad, it used to be a year ago, if he was really angry with me, I would make him laugh and I could bounce him out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of... Him and his sister do this thing where if they get cross with each other, they will, one of them will blow out their cheeks at the other, like that. And so the other one will.
Cute.
And then they both can't help but go... And then it'll make them laugh. It's magical. If I try and make him laugh when he's in a bad mood, now, 9 times out of 10... It will make him worse because he'll start laughing and then he'll be furious at me for breaking the emotion that he's trying to feel.
Yeah, because he's genuinely feeling it and it's not funny.
Totally. And if I'm like, "It's just sort of thing, you know, whatever, that's the last person that said that to me, he died," or whatever, you know, I'm just trying to make him giggle.
Yeah.
You know, and he will laugh once and then he'll be furious. And Christmas Day, 2 hours, he was furious with me for 2 hours right in the middle of Christmas Day.
What did you do?
I tried to suggest to him that eating a roast potato would be good. And
you're a fucking
prick
sometimes.
Trying to get him to eat veg.
You
monster. We're not even trying to get him to eat veg. Like, you'll like this. It's a trick. Just absolutely lost
his
mind.
Why are you tricking him? If he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't want to do it.
Wow. So how does he get out of it now?
It goes through phases where it happens less often at the moment. Mm. And now I've realised, never try and make him laugh. Give him the time, say, "You don't need..." My friend who's a psychologist gave me a great tip. She said, I say to him out loud, I say, "You don't need me right now. That's fine." And I leave the room and I let him come to me. And sometimes it's like a white knuckle. It's been an hour. And then a little note comes under the table.
The note? What does the note say?
I've got lots of sorry notes. And like he... Oh, God. When
I love this
so
child.
When he's mad at me, he will often... He's got a little diagram he does. He'll draw an unhappy face of himself. And then he'll draw a heart with a zigzag line.
Devastating.
Broken my heart. You know, so it's really...
The drama.
It's very dramatic.
Catherine, we should implement some of these parenting things for our relationship.
I can't believe... I was honestly thinking the same thing.
Do you
I
want
like,
some notes? Like, I'll write some
I
notes.
Would appreciate some notes. I also think that you could maybe not try to make me laugh when I'm trying to feel an emotion.
Oh, I don't know how to handle it. I have
she
to
She just flashes a tit at me.
Why you do it? Is that like... is the rawness of genuine
If Catherine's crying, I don't know what to do.
She does this thing where she tries to make me laugh. If that doesn't work, she shows me a tit. If that doesn't work, she will be such a cunt to me, which always makes me laugh.
Okay.
So when we did Gigless and I was like a little bit heartbroken, Helen would come in, be nice to me. And the second we'd go on camera, she'd be like, "This fucking bitch is crying again." And I'd be like, "I would just..." Yeah. But it made me laugh. It worked. Hey, this sounds like you're going to be a good advice giver.
Oh, I hope so.
Would you help us solve a listener problem?
I absolutely love.
Have you got one that's about cringe?
Advice. How's your leg?
Helen!
The last person who said that to me had a dead leg. Go on. Can you imagine if I just had blood seeping through my jeans?
Oh, God.
You wish.
I know, I do. I really do.
She doesn't wear a tampon, so she can be like, it's an injury.
I've watched this. I've watched clips of this, and I didn't realise that the screen is right there.
Oh, yeah. I know, it's mad,
the show.
Isn't it?
Every time you look at Andrew, the screen is above you. You've got to look at your own face. It's awful.
Hell. No, it really is hell, but I like to check my hair, and Helen occasionally gets distracted by herself, and then I get to say something.
Yes, and I've got so my hair goes in one direction, and every time I see it, I try and fix the bit, and then I'm doing the wrong side and making it worse.
God, it looks great.
You look
Andrew,
lovely.
We're looking
Buddy.
At you.
Okay, thank you.
Let's have it.
I put myself on the screen.
Yes!
Oh, so much better.
Yes,
come on, Andrew.
Yes, go on, Andrew. Behave yourself.
It's not fucking fit.
It's great protecting you from the rain.
It is a great top.
So this is from T.
Hi, T.
And it says, hi, Hogs. This podcast is total comfort and enjoyment for me. Thank you for being so open and honest.
Hmm. You're welcome.
I'm 9 years into a relationship.
Oh, thank
Whoa.
God.
I'm 9 years old.
I'm 9 years old. And my life is irreparably ruined.
My dad keeps trying to make me laugh. Okay, this is good.
9 years into a relationship. Okay.
We're pretty solid, and I totally respect her and want the very best for her in every aspect of her life. However, I've been left confused about a future with her after a recent conversation about gender binary.
Here we go. Here we
Absolutely
go.
Absolutely my specialist subject.
Fucking hell.
Oh, dear.
I was a lot more feminine when we met, and my gender questioning has grown over the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I've never expressed the feelings to anyone because I'm accepted as I am by everyone that matters to me, so I've never felt the need to. Last week, we had a conversation with someone about someone's preferred pronouns and the label of non-binary. My partner made some questionable comments about someone from our own community, which really took me by surprise. She meant no malice, but I feel like I could now never have that conversation with her about my feelings and my own gender because of this. I feel a slight sense of relief at sending this email because, as I've said, I've never talked about this with anyone. I'm so confused. I'm in love with her, but not her values and beliefs. My question is, would her opinions change if it's me that's talking about it? Would this open her eyes and give us the possibility to continue the relationship? Or is this a massive red flag and unavoidable change?
Great.
Interesting.
Proper. I've got some key principles to apply here.
Okay, great.
What's the first thing that pops into your head?
I have a thought.
Go on.
But I actually think it'd be interesting to hear what Stu has to say, because I think at the table, longest term relationship is, you know, you're
sure,
in.
Yeah.
And I think there's something a lot of this is more about relationship.
Yeah.
And trust.
Yeah, 100%.
Then it is about...
Well, I went out with someone for 2 months once, so I don't think we can discount my
opinion. Stu, please, tell us your thoughts.
You've got to be honest. You've got to be honest. You have to absolutely have to have the conversation. And that's horrible and scary. Obviously, it's horrible and scary because you don't want to maybe ruin the good thing you've got. Mm-hmm. But you haven't got the good thing you think you've got unless you're being honest with each other.
Yeah.
So... if you suspect, like, I love the person but not the values are part of the person.
Yeah.
The values are mutable and changeable, and you can discuss them and talk about them. But if you're not doing that, it'll be this little thing in the back of the mind for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So no way, dude. You've got to, that's non-binary dude.
Yeah. I liked it.
You have to talk about it. That's like if they said something, I mean, take the idea of the, whether it's about gender or what have you, out of it.
Yeah.
Say it was something about race, or say it was mm-hmm. something about religion, something that is you're scared that it might be a fundamental core belief mm-hmm. of your partner.
Mm.
But if you don't talk about it, you'll never know. And if you don't talk about it, you might never find out that actually they've got things to say about it that they're prepared to work through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You might have misunderstood where they're coming from. They might have spoken casually. It might be something they're able to get over. People change. So don't risk having the relationship that you're worried that you've got.
Yeah.
Keep on having it for 10 years maybe. Yeah. By the time you're like, oh, secretly they don't respect this, that, the other, I can't mention it. Maybe they'd be fine with it, but you'll never know. You've got to be honest.
Such a good prince answer.
I completely agree.
I've got a better answer.
Before you get to that.
Oh, no.
I think, we'll have yours at the end, I think.
No, my it's really good.
Okay,
I'm
go on.
Really
go on.
The, I'm really go relishing on. The dynamic of Fine. The lion and the lion tamer.
It's honestly tedious. Go on, what is it?
Mine's really good because you mentioned that you'd been questioning your gender identity for like a long time, but your partner might not have put any thought into it until recent like months or even this conversation. So you've had a long time to think about it and mull it over, but then other people are just forming like first gambling steps into an opinion. They might be repeating something they heard. They might have felt out of depth in the conversation. I think that's like a really common thing when people say things they might not necessarily mean, but they just feel out of depth and they're just trying to say something because your time and thought into it is not anything compared to theirs. Opinions do change, particularly with topics like this, that for a lot of people do feel like a new topic. Despite the fact they're not, it is new for a lot of people. But you do have to be honest. And I think I crushed it.
Interesting. That was actually a very good That's piece good of answer, advice. Yeah. A really good
also,
piece of...
if you're questioning this one belief as the end of your relationship, then maybe it's not a good relationship.
Oh, but...
well, no, I disagree. I don't think being like worried that my, the partner who I've loved this whole time might see me change and thus hate
yeah,
me
start
for
fresh.
Part
start
of me
fresh.
That's intrinsic isn't
start
that
fresh tea.
Here. Wow, stop it. Okay. Here's my thoughts. I agree that I think you will ruin the relationship by assuming the worst, as Stu says, if you don't just tell the truth anyway.
Yeah.
I also completely agree. It's possible that this person was speaking it offhand. I think that's really the issue for me is I think you've set a test for her that she doesn't know she's participating in. It's like, here's a theoretical.
Never test people when they don't know they're being
here's
tested.
Here's a theoretic for you. Oh, you failed. Because they don't know the stakes, they don't know who they're talking about. And look, should you have to know?
When you said don't know the stakes, I pictured stakes.
Should you have to know? Okay. Should
I
you,
was caught up on the term a theoretic, and I remember you're a debating champ, and that's why I you should always listen to you.
But I just think, I don't think there's any scenario in which, I don't think you should have to know a non-binary person to have the capacity for empathy with non-binary people.
Oh, great.
However, we also know that whether we like it or not, people are more likely to be compassionate towards gay people if they've met a gay person or if they have a gay person in their family. People generally can humanize trans people more when they have met or known or been friends with a trans person. Like, segregation only fosters racism. We know that, like, obviously empathy is born of experiential, like, shared experience.
Yeah.
So I think... So there's first of all that. So I don't think we can go, she's obviously on the wrong side of this. And it will, by the way, still hurt if she is on the wrong side and then is more likely to come around to it because it's you, right? Like it'll still be like, I wish that that wasn't why,
sure.
Right? But I think it's very possible. I also think there's a possibility that, I think there's another scenario, right, where she
put
has thought about it.
Put all the non-binary people on an island?
No.
And then you can go meet all of them in one go?
No, where she has thought about it. Because I don't know, I don't know that you can be in a relationship with a person for 9 years, experience their gender and not have questions about it. And perhaps...
That's true.
She was expressing defence or fear of you changing. Yeah, but it might transpire to be that. It might not be an issue is non-binary. It might be like... If you change, what does it mean about your feelings towards me? Have they changed? Do I have to change? There's like lots of human fears here, all of which you have to have a conversation with her.
I have a question about the person that you're in the relationship with. If you change, also has the right to go. Do they not have the right to go? I sort of preferred you, the person that I met.
Mm. Yeah, and listen, I think that they can.
Like my wife would not like me if I were bald. And it is a constant fear.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Or short.
Wow.
I suddenly creep her
You'd
out.
You'd be a great short,
up.
Bald king.
I think I'd be a short, bald king. I'm like, but it's about what's inside. And she's like, yeah, totally. And then I'll sneak up behind her pretending to be shorter and she'll really freak out.
Wow.
And with all due respect and love to my short and bald kings out there.
I think there's a distinction here, though. There's a distinction
I'm
here.
I'm being very facile about
it. No. I actually was going to say that there's a distinction between affording you dignity, respect, and care and not being attracted to you. Those are two distinct things, right? So like, I like to think that like in either scenario, this person doesn't stop loving, liking, respecting or affording you dignity, but may no longer be attracted to you. And that is something that they have every prerogative to do. But my goodness me, I think we're jumping the gun because I actually just think you got to talk to your girlfriend.
It's a conversation. I think we're all agreed. It's like you need to sit down and sort of like don't go in it with anger or be on the defense or assume that they're going to be sort of like defensive or not say the right thing. Just like find it in your heart to be able to open up and sort of like chat
and
them
after
through.
It must be hard. I don't think we're not pretending that isn't hard. And
no,
you're scared
of course.
After 9 years.
Yeah, it's huge
thing. But I think if you want another 9 years out of it, it's gotta be on a bedrock of
agreed. And also, this person, bear in mind, will have had the minutes it takes you to say the sentences to think about it, possibly. So they're coming in it's okay to maybe be like, I'm gonna tell you this thing, and then you have every right to go and think about it. Give me your first terrible reaction.
That's nice, Catherine, to allow someone like a bit of time. Yeah.
Like maybe you should talk to a friend before you talk to me. Maybe you should talk to it like there. Maybe you should talk to your mom before.
People are so much better at this. The things that you're talking about are such a great expression of how much better some people have got. How much, I don't mean the discourse, but whatever the word is for people getting. What I'm trying to say is, I've had conversations with partners over the many years I've been alive that have not been conducted in as eloquent, kind of emotionally articulate and eloquent a way. And I think,
but
actually,
me too.
Yeah, right.
Me too. It's not like...
Oh, you mean it's easier when it's not your jam, you don't care?
No, I'm saying it's much easier when it's hard. Like, it's a hard one. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and also, this is my wheelhouse, right? Like, I've dated people of all genders. I have, like generally, I think the same stigma that applies to trans and non-binary people now is the same language and nonsense they were using against gay people when I was growing up. It's just morphed because we have a new target. Like, it feels very much like the vernacular I'm used to. If we were talking about an issue that didn't affect me, as we just talked about, I would be more like, but I think, I just think you gotta give her benefit of the doubt, but also, like, don't be afraid to be like, I'm gonna leave this with you, or I'm gonna write you a letter, for example. Like, you wrote a very good email to us. There's no reason to say you couldn't write a great email to her.
I'd say one final.
Did you CC her into the? Yeah.
Just one final suggestion: if during the conversation you do find yourself getting cross with each other, puff up your cheeks, both of you, and just look at each other and just see what happens. It's a good system.
If it works for those kids, why not us? And also, you know, I think as the other thing to say is, worst case scenario, you tell her who you are and she can't love you in the same way. You get to be who you are and you had a beautiful time together while it was what it was. Best case scenario, she knows you better and it works better.
Yeah.
Pretty good odds, I think.
Where was this measured, Catherine, when we were beating the shit out of each other?
Oh, she was on a holiday. She was on an island playing music, having a dance by herself.
Just to return briefly to the beating up thing.
Please.
Are you totally confident I'm not going to be cancelled?
On my life, totally confident.
I put my house on it.
I don't
it's fine.
Think that I made... I don't think I worry that I haven't made it clear enough that the reason that bit... Like, I'm so lucky that I didn't put that bit in the show because I was an idiot at the time and had no idea of the number of people out there for whom that would be triggering in a kind of domestic violence.
But I think that's...
Kind of way.
I was 110% in.
It was quite clear that I was like, God.
I would have done your face if it was an option.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool.
Is not even a question.
It's just that we pivoted quite hard there, as you do on this show. Being fucking dick-swinging idiots to dealing with someone's real...
We love it. We love a pivot.
But also, I kind of think that's like, I've done things like, I think we should almost even keep this part of the conversation in because...
Oh, no, I'm totally happy.
I have learned things from saying things on stage and being like, and we've had them go okay and being like, I will never do that again because the risk that I took there was ill-informed and crazy.
Yes.
Like,
But our intention was to discuss something that you thought about doing ages ago and then didn't do, and then we had some fun with it. But the intention is not to trigger someone, and there's such a big difference.
Of course.
Would you trigger warning the episode?
We have like little notes under episodes.
Like specifically,
I doubt that people would read it, but we can if you'd rather.
I think I rather would, not because I'm scared of being cancelled. I don't want to be like, I'm incredibly
stupid
and I'm scared of being cancelled. I'm very happy for all this.
Trigger,
we can. It can be in the blurb under the episode.
That is important to me because, like, I feel like I get it now.
Yeah, I like that.
Let's really plug your special, though. Off the back of that TV chat, let's just gear shift again in what's effectively the fifth in a series of handbrake turns.
Thank you so much, Stu Gosford. Tell us about your special.
Please tell us about your special.
It is so sweet and open-hearted.
And open-handed.
It's called I Need You Alive, and it sort of is accreted around the my realisation that in terms of my family, if everything goes according to plan, I die first. right? That's,
very
that's
good.
Now the plan, right?
Because wow.
You know, I need them all alive.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And they need me alive less than they need any of the each other alive. And I feel fine with that. And it's about kind of accepting Aww. It. And it's about I'm sort of halfway through my life, if I'm lucky. And yeah. It's just about sort of recognizing that stuff. And there's some stuff in there about my friend who was told he had 20 years to live, which is fucking preposterous.
What an insane number.
An insane number. So there's some stuff about that, and there's some lovely stuff about there's some very, very funny. It's like all my favourite bits from two different shows put together, and like it's been produced by 800 Pound Gorilla, so yeah. It is a properly... I've produced Amazing. My own specials before, but this is like, oh, someone thinks this is good enough to take a huge financial risk.
Yeah,
on
and right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So and where can people... Looks, I believe you. Where can people watch it?
They can find it... the links are at stuartgoldsmith.com, and it is that there is a worldwide online premiere, which is a new thing.
How exciting!
At 8 p.m. on the 23rd of February.
8 p.m. 23rd of February. That's so cool.
Out,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So so at that time you can part of your ticket you can watch it live, and I think there's like live comment like a comment chat box kind of throughout
nice.
It. And if you get the right sort of ticket, then there's an after party which will be a Zoom with me.
Cute.
Oh, you guys who are here from Giggles particularly 100% should
yeah.
do that. If
yeah,
you're
yeah,
missing
yeah.
like it's, comedy online, that's the
that's
way to
so
do
fun.
It.
It's really fun. I'm so
that's
proud
so
of it.
Fun.
It's very hard to describe to people what it is because it isn't a live streamed show. They are streaming a pre-recorded and beautifully edited and perfected, honed
yeah.
thing,
yeah.
but that we all watch it together.
Don't worry, Stu. The young kids will understand
it.
It's a YouTube live that's uploaded later, and then you can still watch it and see the comments come up as it goes. Yeah,
yeah. So they will understand it, but my audience are not. They're slanted away slightly from young kids.
Oh, they'll do anything for the Little Prince.
When I did the mailing list shout out, fuck me, I got a lot of replies going.
The mailing
oh yeah, I'll come and see it. Where is it? It's on the internet.
Princess.
My mailing list shout out. Not an Instagram story, my mailing list shout out.
Oh my God.
No,
please.
No.
It's lovely.
No, it's
lovely.
A mailing
Thank
list.
Thank you
Prince.
So much, Stuart Gardner, for coming
what,
on.
Are you out, Trevor?
Make sure you go and see him by me at Unlimited.
I have never been so aggressively outroed. That was wonderful. Oh, God, I don't want it to end.
No,
can we do another hour?
No.
Thank you so much to our executive producers, Simon Moores, Guy Goodman, Mary Fox, Annie Tonner, Sarah Harkey-Deacon, and Oliver Jago. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You guys are legends. We're so grateful to you. Also, thank you, too. We have a new producer. How very exciting.
You do it all in one breath.
I can't. Richard Bicknell, L. Richard Bald, Neil Redmond, Victoria Hutchison, Emma Walton, Karen and David Ball, Harold Van Dyke, Eddie Doyle, Tim and Dom, David Walker, Rachel R., Anthony Conway, Sadie Cashmore, Claire Owen Jones, Jess and Nick, Zoe, Joe Holmes, Sarah and Molly, Alex Pugh, Josie W., Amy, Cordelia, Raya Fink, Rachel Page, Helen A., Tina Lindsay, Sophie Chivers, Graham Marsh, Emily G., Amy O'Riordan, Abby Wharf, Key Webb, Kai Webb, Matt Sims.
Thank you so much and welcome to Matt Sims to the Sky!
Guys, thank you so much for supporting us. We're so grateful we couldn't do it without you. And we
I know.
Really appreciate
it. It's been amazing.
Here.
It's been amazing.
If you're not already a Patreon, you should be. Get on there.
Because when work
join
doesn't
us.
Come in for us, it means that we can keep doing this and we don't have to run around scrabbling in a cafe.
Exactly. And also, now if you're on the Patreon, you get the podcast without ads.
Mm.
Yes,
Hello.
Please. As well as all the other benefits you get too, and the extra episodes. I mean, there's so many extra. There's an extra episode for every episode that we've had.
And the min shot. Anyway,
excuse
thank
me,
you
what?
So much.
I told you not
Bye.
To.
Bye.